visitors this morning. But let me tell you about Edge Hill. I don't know what it is. It's every Sunday. All our songs, all our prayers, everything seems to go together. Every one of your songs mention the rolling thunder, storms and rains, how our God is more powerful than all of that. Every one of them. So today's title, this lesson this morning, is Preparing for the Storm. It just seems like every Sunday that it just comes together. And it lets me know that who's leading this worship. It lets me know the heart of each and every one of y'all, that our heart's in the right place. You know, a lot of y'all know that I started a new job with Prince George County on February 1st. And my whole job is to do nothing but prepare the citizens of Prince George County to be prepared for storms and disasters. I'm an emergency manager of Prince George County, so every day I go to work, I'm preparing for that storm or that disaster that's coming to Prince George County at some point. And for some odd reason, since the day I started, I think we've been activated after hours multiple times with different storms or different disasters that's already hit Prince George County. I'm that black cloud it seems to bring to them. So, what I want, our last lesson that I taught on, it was one of the parables of Jesus. I want to talk to you this morning to the parable of the wise builder and the foolish builder. And talk to you about the Christians preparing for the spiritual storms in our lives. And if you'll turn over to Matthew, and I want you to grab your Bible, because I don't, like I said, I don't have fancy slides this morning. We are going to turn to Scripture this morning. I'm going to turn with you so you'll have time to get there. So turn over to Matthew chapter 7, and I want to read verses 24 through verses 29. And we all know the story. We've been taught this story since we were a little child. The wise man built his house upon the rock. You remember that stuff that we do. But I think we overlook this. This is one of those very short parables, very short stories that Jesus tells. But he has so much in there that I want you to look at this morning. And so applies today to us. Starting in verse 24, it says this, "Therefore, every one of you who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rains came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yes, it did not fall, because it had been its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who's built his house upon the sand. The rains came down, the stream rose up, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell. It was a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, a crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who's having authority and not as just a teacher of the law. It's a simple story, short story. But there's so much in there that we can gather from this to prepare our daily lives spiritually that I want us to look at. First of all, I want us to look at the rock. He tells us to build our house on the rock. What is the rock? And when we go through these scriptures, you'll see throughout all the scriptures it talks about the rock. Now, the first one I want you to turn to is turn over to Psalms chapter 118. Psalms chapter 118. I want to read verses 19 through 26 in 118. And we'll be reading verses 19 through 26. "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter the gates thanking to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, it talks about that cornerstone. It talks about the cornerstone that was rejected. It talks about the rock that we should be building our salvation on. All the way back in the Psalms at the very beginning. This was a prediction. What is the prediction? It's a prediction about Jesus being rejected. Because you can turn over to what was read earlier, turn over to Mark chapter 12, and we're going to read 10 through 12 again, and see which stone they're talking about. You know, the parable before this, to lay up the groundwork for this, was the parable before this was the parable of the vineyard. Who was owner, who sent his people out to check on some of his vineyards, and some of the people killed those ones that sent him the message. To the point where he finally sent his son to try to tell the message, and they killed his son to try to get his inheritance. They killed his only son. So he went and took care of business. And this is what he says after telling this parable. He tells these Pharisees and the Sadducees and these ones who think they are great leaders, reminding them in verse chapter 10, haven't you read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and we marvelous in our eyes. Then they looked away, and then they looked for a way to arrest him, because they knew that he was speaking the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. They knew that they were talking about them. And that Jesus was the cornerstone, the rock that we depend on. Turn over to Peter chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2. I told you I was going to have y'all going through the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected became the capstone. To those who believe, this stone is precious. Everything about Jesus Christ and about his teachings, about what he tells us each and every day, should be precious to us. It's value to us. We cannot survive without it. It's like the living water. If we don't drink it and we don't take part of it, we're going to die from it. But those who don't believe are those who reject the stone. You know, throughout scriptures, we see this forte or this way of looking at the rock as a place of safety. Turn back to Psalms chapter 62, and we'll be in Psalms for a few verses, a few chapters. I won't read all the chapters, but it will be there for a few chapters. Turn over to Psalms chapter 62. These are verses that gives us great encouragement to realize this is what we were just singing about. About how powerful our God is. About how we go to Him
in times of storms. In Psalm chapter 62, verses 1 through 2 tells us this. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. You see how they put that constantly, that rock and salvation is one. It comes together. When you see one, you usually see the other or related to the other. Listen to this. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Go down to verse 5 of the same chapter. Find rest, O my soul, God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. That's what we find in Christ Jesus. He's our rock in the times of storms and struggles and hardships. No matter what, we go spiritually, physically, mentally. He's the one that we need to rely on. He's our rock of all time. Flip over to 71, chapter 71. I want to read verses 1 through 3. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ears to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Throughout scriptures, it tells us what the rock is that he mentions. And you realize and got to understand, they knew that. When they heard Jesus talk about that rock, they knew the word, what it was referencing to. They referenced to the Father himself. Turn over one more place in Psalms, verse 89, chapter 89, excuse me. Psalms chapter 89. I want to go down to verse 26. He will call out to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock, my salvation. He relates it to our Father as being the rock. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to read verses starting with verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, which Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. But listen to this after this. Why is this so important? In him, the whole building is joined together and raised to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become, to dwell in which God lives by His Spirit. Without Jesus, this church wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to stand. We wouldn't be able to stand as a congregation. And I look back, and I was sitting here as we listened to these songs that are coming to me. I look back at all the struggles we had, and just a few months ago, we were wondering if we were able to keep the doors open. But look around. Things are starting to change. Why is that? Because our foundation, our rock, is relying on Christ Jesus. As long as we continue to keep Christ is the cornerstone of this church, we will continue to exist. Amen. For His purpose. Amen. We will continue to do His work. And we will make it through the storm. You know, Satan is trying to tear not only us down as individuals, but us down as a congregation. But he is losing the battle. because our doors are still open. We're still making a difference. But we got to realize and understand what's holding us up. We're all tied into one thing, and that is into Christ. And we need to know and understand what the rock is truly is. Turn back to Matthew, and let's go back there for just a moment again, because I want you to think about what he's saying here. Let's look. I want to go drop down to verse 26 and read the rest of it. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, remember that, brothers and sisters, into practice, is like a fool who builds his house upon the sand. We all know what happens to that house, it falls down. But I want to let you know this morning, there's only one or two options. If you don't build your house upon the rock, which we just went over and we found that the rock is God of the Father and Christ Jesus Himself, everything else is nothing but sinking sand. We only have one or two options. He don't give a third one in this. All right, if you don't build on a rock and you can't find a good rock, then build it here and avoid the sand. The only option that we have is to build it on Christ. That's the only option we have. I looked it up here a little while ago, and we sing this song all the time, and went away. Go figure. Sinking sand. You know that song we sing? My hope is built on nothing less than blood, Jesus' blood and righteousness. All other things are sinking sand. And that's the truth. That song puts this perfectly into perspective. If you're not focused on Christ on your everyday life, everything else is sinking sand. Everything, yep. 538. Everything else is sinking sand. So we only have one or two options. That's kind of rough, isn't it? You know, when I got into the emergency preparedness game, and I tell people, this is what you need to do to be prepared, and they don't do it, then there's usually consequences that goes with it. And that's the same thing with this. We have one or two options. We're going to lean on Christ and do everything in our everyday life. We're going to be a part of this family. Are we going to be sinking sand and without the rest of the world out there? So, let's talk about the storm, because there's a lot that we can learn about storms. Our Father, which we sang all through today, which just amazes me. Turn over to Psalms once again, and I want you to turn to Psalms, chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34, we're going to start in verse 17. The righteous cries out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in the spirit. A righteous man may have troubles, but the Lord delivers him from all. What's that include, as Russ would say? Does that include anything? Everything. You'll see that more as we read other scriptures here in a moment. From all. He protects all his bones. Not a one of them will be broken. That's amazing. Because, you know, we're going to sometimes get hurt, and just to be able to survive it and come out alive is a good thing. But the Lord tells us when he fights for us, not a bone will be broken. He's going to protect us in every possible way. That's amazing to me. You know, we all remember the story in Matthew chapter 8 about the you turn over there why I'm talking about it. Matthew chapter 8, it'll be around verse 26. The apostles were in the boat with Jesus. You remember that story? Jesus is asleep because he knows he has nothing to worry about. Jesus is asleep, but the storm arose and the wind were blowing hard and the sea was coming into the boat, and they went over there and woke up Jesus and said, "You've got to wake us. You've got to save us." At least they knew who to turn to. Because at some point we all know who to turn to. "You got to save us." Our Jesus stood up. Not only did he get them to safe ground, but he rebuked the winds and the sea. And what happened to the winds and the seas? They stopped. And when we face trials and tribulations in our lives, sometimes we get so wrapped up in the storm, we forget the power that we have within our Savior. That he has the ability to stop it. You know, about a month ago, we had that storm that hit and affected everybody. And I was right there working in it. I was in my response vehicle when it first started out, because we weren't expecting it to be as bad as it was. And the rains were coming down hard and the winds were blowing, and I was watching trees fall down, and all this stuff was going on around me. And I thought about that as I was thinking about that. My Lord, like that, it would all stop. He has that power and ability in our lives if we only allow him to do it, because that's one thing that it requires for us, for him to allow him to calm the storm. If we allow him to do that, he has the strength and the ability to stop it all. To stop it all in a moment's notice. Turn back to Psalms. I'm loving Psalms this morning. Turn back to Psalms, chapter 107. Psalms, verses 107. Chapter 107, excuse me. Chapter 107, and I want to read verses 28 and verses 29. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he brought them out of their disasters. He stilled the storm to a whisper." That's what our Lord can do, still a storm to a whisper. "And the waves and the seas were hushed." You know, when we find troubles in our life, our Lord has the ability to take a storm and put it to a whisper. And take a wave and hush it. That's a powerful thing that we have at our access and our abilities to reach out, to have a Lord who is able to do that. You know, another thing that you need to know about storms, if you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 5, there's something that you have to understand. And I think a lot of times we don't realize, because we have that times when we have plenty of days of sunshine and plenty of days, and we forget what's happened in the past. But what we need to understand that storms are going to come on all of us. There's no way to avoid a storm. That's one of the biggest points I put out when I go out and speak. It's coming. May not be today. May not be tomorrow, but storms are coming. Disasters are coming. And he tells us why in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 43-48. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that ye may be the sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your brother, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The storm is going to rain on the just and unjust. There's no way to avoid the storms. Just because we belong to a part of His children, He does not protect us from the storms that are coming. He protects us during the storms. That's something that they don't have out there. When the storm hits, they don't have that. And you'll come to play here in a minute when I put all this together at the end of the sermon. They don't have that protection. But we have a fortress, a rock, that we can withstand anything to the point where we will walk out without any broken bones. That's what the Lord promises us. But we have to rely on Him. We have to hold tightly to Him. So we got to understand the storms are coming. Look at this past month. Almost every night there's a storm, and I'm telling you already, as a merchant manager, there's more storms to come than probably tonight. So be prepared for them. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell you this morning out of these scriptures, is there's more storms coming. You already probably went through some bad ones. We've already gone through some. There's more to come because of the world that we're in. And we need to understand that we're not going to get out of the storms where we can't say, oh, we're not going to have storms in our life. It's not all sunshines and rainbows and candy canes and unicorns, whatever you want to call it. That's what Christians sometimes think. I am a Christian. Why is it happening to me? I'm trying to do the right thing. He tells you. He warns you. He prepares you that storms will come. So He can't say we didn't know. But He's going to protect you if you rely on Him. So how do we prepare for the storms? How do we prepare? Let's go back to Matthew where we started all this. Matthew chapter 7. Listen to verse 24. Because I reiterated it a couple times, but let's see if you are listening. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone that hears the word of mine and puts them into what? Practice. Is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. You want to prepare for the storms, it won't do you any good if you say, yeah, I heard that a storm's coming, and you don't put anything to practice. If the merchant manager is in Prince George County, if I tell you this is what you need to do, prepare, or you need to evacuate to be safe, you say, nope, mm-mm. I hear you. You got to be able to put God's word to practice. Turn over to Romans chapter. Let's just go back a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's just go back to verse 21 through 23. Back to verse 21. Just what was read just a little bit earlier. Well, what happened a little bit earlier. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not profit in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And then he points out the wise man and the foolish man builders to the point, if you're not doing my will, you're not doing what I, if you're just not only just hearing what I have to say, if you're not being a doer of what I have to say, I never knew you. It's his will that we have to follow, not our will. That's how we prepare for the storms. We do our Father's will and he will take care of the rest. So often we don't do that. So often we try to fix things on our own, or so often we handle things on our own. As the classes we're talking about in Proverbs, we reject that wisdom the Lord gives us to be prepared. He gives us everything that we need to do to be fully equipped. Fully equipped. But so often we try to say we got a better way. If we want to be prepared for the storms, we have to do our Father's will. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve that what God's will is. Remember, everything else is sinking sand. So when we try to conform to this world, we're all we are is in sinking sand. We need to transform so that we do God's will. And that's what we need. That's how we prepare for the storms. Almost to a close. A couple more things I want to bring to you. Turn over to James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. This pretty much makes it simple. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells you this. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Isn't it pretty simple? This is how we prepare for the storms in our life. This is how we get through our day-to-day life. Is leaning on Christ in every aspect of our lives. This is how we're going to do it as a church. This is how we're going to do it as individuals. Now, I'm going to leave you a little story, then I want us to go back to Proverbs that we've been studying to really pull all this together. You know, there was a story about a man who was told that there was a storm coming. His neighbor came to him, look, there's a really bad storm coming, and they're telling us to evacuate. He said, the Lord's going to save me. I'm good. I don't need to evacuate. And the storm came. And then a gentleman in a truck came while the height of the storm, when he shouldn't have been there, the height of the storm came to the man and said, look, you got to go. It's going to be bad. He said, no, I'm good. So the man in the truck didn't want to lose his life, so he rolled on. So the water's raised up. And he's up in his house, and the water's coming in his house, and a man with a boat came. He said, look, it's going to get worse. You need to come with me. He said, nope, the Lord will save me. And then the water rose up even higher and higher to the point where he ended up on a roof. And a helicopter came and said, look, this is your last chance. If you don't leave now, you'll perish. Nope, I'm good. The Lord will save me. And then he got to heaven and he asked the Lord, why didn't you save me? He said, I tried. I sent all these people, but you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't do what I was trying to tell you, that the storms are going to be here. You need to go. So often we get kind of in the same way. Nope. We want to take God's word and change it to meet our needs. He didn't want to leave home. And then we ask God why. Well, we wonder why we're in the storms. Well, I gave you opportunities, I gave you every chance, and sometimes we don't want to listen. Turn over to Proverbs. Where we started this lesson with Jerry, all the way back to chapter 1. The title of this is starting with the Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 20, the title of this, and Jerry, you'll love this, is the warning against rejecting wisdom. And listen to what it has to say, because I think this really ties everything together at the end about Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Pulls all this together. Listen closely. Pay attention. In verse 20, it says this, wisdom called out loud in the streets. She raised her voice in the public square, trying to warn the people. Tell them, hey, this is what we need to do. At the hearing of the noise in the streets, she cried out in the gates of the cities. She made her speech. And how long will you simple ones love simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery? And listen to this. And fools hate knowledge. If you had not responded to my rebuke or my warning, as we talked about in Proverbs, and we changed those words to better understand my warnings, I would be poured out my heart to you and make my thoughts known to you. But since you reject me, remember the cornerstone that was rejected earlier? Since you reject me when I call out, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hands, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I will turn and will laugh at your disaster. I will mock the calamity that overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whispering winds, when disasters and when distress and trouble overwhelms you, listen to this part. Then ye will call to me. Let me tell you something about that. When everybody gets in trouble, if they are close to God or not to God, everybody will call unto God one day. Every one of us. Even if it's on Judgment Day, they're going to be calling out to God on that day. We need to realize that. And that's what he's trying to tell us here. Then they will call on me, and I will not answer. They will look for me, and they will not find me, since they hate knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. That's what it comes down to. The Lord is trying to give us the wisdom as we go through Proverbs, what we need to do to be prepared on this earth. But there's going to become a time and a place when it's too late. It's going to be like that man on the roof when they're finally and it comes to him and says, this is your last chance. There'll be a day when then you'll have no more chances. You got to follow his will and do his will and not our will. Because if we don't have the mindset of doing his will, one day we may be like that guy in that house. We've been warned and we've been told that Judgment Day is coming. We've been warned and told that storms and lights and struggles are going to come and they're going to overtake us with our trials and tribulations because we are refusing to do God's will. You want to be prepared for the storms in life. You want to be prepared for that final battle when it comes to the end of time. You've got to be willing to do His will. And that's every day. Being prepared is not something you prepare the day of. That's one thing that I told me. When the storm is coming and is here, it's too late to prepare for it. Because let me tell you on the fire side, when somebody at the height of the storm, I mean, the 75-mile-hour winds are constant, the fire apparatus, the police, they all go shelter. So if you wait to that point, nobody's answering your call for rescue. Because we got to protect ourselves. So they don't go out. They will not respond until after the disaster. And then that's too late. The Lord is telling us to be prepared. To lean on Him. To trust in Him. To focus our whole life on Him. And He will take care of the rest. You can't ask for any better than that. Then the Lord has said, don't worry about it. If you lean on me, I'll take care of all your troubles. But so often we try to do them ourselves. I know this congregation, and I know the people in it. I know your heart. A lot of this stuff, and sometimes I'm preaching to the choir. But I know that we all go through struggles. They all can become overwhelmed. I know that a lot of us are facing pains and sufferings and trials and tribulations that seem just overwhelming. So this morning I'm trying to encourage you, when those storms hit, lean on the rock. Lean on Christ Jesus. He will help you through no matter what you're going through. Because I can testify personally. I've had some pretty rough week this week. I can testify that He's helped me through. Don't rely on your own strength. Rely on His. I don't know what you're going through, but we're all interconnected to that cornerstone. So we all help each other out. So if you're going through any trials and tribulations and struggles this morning, All you got to do is come forward and we'll all pray for you. We have great elders. Jerry will come forward. Leslie will come forward. Don't matter who needs to come forward, and the elders will pray for you. So if there's anything that we can do for you this morning, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.